Good morning, church. Good to see all of you today on a holiday. Thanks for adjusting, I'm sure, your family traditions on this day to be here at church with us. We are not going to have a Valentine's-themed sermon this morning. We are going to continue in our series, No Other Gospel. And so we'd love for you to go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21 in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 5. If you are a guest with us, maybe you're checking us out online, we believe that the Bible is God's revelation to us. We believe it's supposed to be the very foundation for our lives. We want more and more of our lives to be based on what God has said to us. And so that's why we encourage you to open your Bibles. We don't really believe that what I have to say this morning matters very much unless it agrees with what God has said. And so we're going to see that this morning from Galatians 5, 16 through 21. The reason that we are going through the book of Galatians is because we want to live by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, which is another way of saying that we want to live based on the gospel, because the gospel is not something as followers of Jesus that we can afford to move on from. We never move on from the good news that even though our sin separates us from our holy God, even though we can never be good enough on our own to earn our salvation, God in His grace sent Jesus. And as a result of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in our place, not only has the price for our sin been paid in full, but if you place your faith in Christ alone, His righteousness is added to your account. So we don't have to stand before the holy judge on the basis of our resume. We can be declared righteous because of the work of Jesus. That's the gospel, and that is eternity-altering good news if you believe it. And it is not just the starting point for the Christian life. The gospel's the whole journey of the Christian life. We don't move on from grace to living based on our own achievements. We don't move on from Christ to dependence on ourselves. We don't even move on from the gospel when this life is over. We never move on from the gospel, in case I haven't made that clear yet in this series, because there is nowhere else good to go. We never move on from the gospel because we don't want to live based on what we deserve. I'm not good enough for that. I'm not good enough to desire what I deserve. All is grace. This is what makes true Christianity unique from every other belief system and every other religion, because Christianity openly accepts the reality that we can never deserve our salvation. We can never do anything to put God in our debt and say, God, you owe me this. It is not faith plus works. It is grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So we talked last week about how the cross is both exclusive and inclusive. It is exclusive in that it says, Jesus is the only way. Salvation is found nowhere else. But the cross is also inclusive in that it says all are guilty and all are welcome. All are guilty and all are welcome. The ground is level here. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. No matter what you have done, you aren't more or less deserving of life and blessings than anyone else. In fact, the message of the cross is that we are all deserving of death, but Jesus took our place. And so the desperate sinner hears that message and hears the most wonderful news ever. My sins can be forgiven. I can have an eternal inheritance. The self-righteous sinner hears that message and hears the most offensive news ever. What do you mean all the good things I've done don't matter? What do you mean my resume isn't good enough on its own? And even as followers of Jesus, we're seeing in this book that we can fall back into this. There are times when we measure ourselves up to the person next to us, and if we think we have earned more, suddenly grace doesn't look as appealing as it once did. And if we aren't careful, we will have this tendency to drift back towards legalism, thinking that God or other people owe us, thinking that we can earn our standing before God based on what we do. And the letter to the Galatians was written to call people wandering into legalism back to the gospel, because neither legalism or license are where freedom is found. The gospel is where freedom is found. Jesus is where freedom is found. And Jesus set us free, not so that we could do whatever we wanted, but so we would have the opportunity, ability, and desire to do what will bring unending joy. That's what true freedom is. It's the opportunity, ability, and desire to do what will bring unending joy. We saw last week that freedom is expressed through lovingly serving each other. That when we picture true freedom, the life of Christ is what should be in our minds. Jesus was the most free person to ever exist, and he expressed that freedom through serving us and loving us. And so if you are asking the question, okay, how do I avoid drifting away from grace? How do I avoid drifting off into legalism or drifting off into license? Knowing our heart's tendency to wander, how do I enjoy the freedom that I have in Christ? The answer of Galatians 5 is to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And we're going to spend 2 weeks on this last section in chapter 5, which compares the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about the flesh, we aren't talking about our physical bodies. But the flesh here is that ego that is always focused on me, myself, and I. Remember last week, we said the reason our freedom in Christ is expressed through serving and loving is because the flesh desires to fill its emptiness. The Spirit desires to share its fullness. The flesh is constantly saying, I need more. I deserve more, and I deserve it now. And so a question that we have to ask as we go through the end of this chapter is, who is going to lead my life? Who's going to lead my life? And am I going to be driven by my ego? Am I going to be driven by my cravings for more? That's the reality of the world around us. And if we're honest, it's probably our reality more than we would care to admit. And I want us to be a faith family that walks by the Spirit. Walks by the Spirit of God. That releases the illusion of control more and more to him, because that's where freedom is found. That's where unending joy is found. And so here we go. Look at Galatians 5 and verse 16. Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And here's the question I believe our text answers today. Why do we need to walk by the Spirit? Why is it so important? Why do we need to walk by the Spirit of God? Next week, we'll focus more on how we do that, but today we are going to focus on the why. Why is it so important that we rely on the Holy Spirit of God every day? And I have three reasons from this text, and they're kind of obvious, but that's kind of the point. It should be obvious that freedom is better than slavery. It should be obvious that the Holy Spirit is better than our sinful flesh. So here we go, verse 16 again. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The first reason we should walk by the Spirit is because following God is better than opposing God. Following God is better than opposing God. And again, that should be obvious, but this verse really reveals our problem. Our human flesh, our ego is opposed to God. So you can't please God and please your fleshly desires simultaneously. Because the flesh says, more of me, focus on me, feed me. And God says, no, 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 less of you, more of me. And from the first fall into temptation in the garden through the rest of human history, our human flesh seeks to make much of ourselves rather than making much of God. We are not naturally good. We are not naturally submissive. We are rebels against God's authority. That's the hardwiring of our heart. We are not naturally God's teammates. We are naturally his opponents. And can we agree that that's kind of a big problem? History tells us that God's opponents lose badly. They lose badly. So much of Israel's history, documented for us in the Old Testament, is meant to teach us that we desperately need God to be on our side. You don't want to oppose him. It never ends well. And maybe you've been fighting with God. You blame him for events in your past. You don't want him to be in control. Maybe you just want him to leave you alone and let you live your life. And if that is you, then I'm going to guess that you are either miserable now or will be later. Because a life spent in opposition to God is not a life of freedom. Following him is so much better. Walking by the Spirit is so much better. But the reason that is so hard, and this verse is so enlightening to this, it's because of what's going on inside of us, even as believers. Because how often do you ask yourself the question, what is wrong with me? You ever ask yourself, what is wrong with me? Why do I keep doing what I don't really want to do? Why is sanctification so hard? Why am I not better by now? I feel like I should be better at this. And there might be a more specific answer based on your particular reality, but generally speaking, the answer is there's a battle going on inside of us. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God resides in you to enable you to enjoy your freedom in Christ. But our sinful flesh is still trying to pull us towards what is temporary and what is worldly. And we can take heart that our sinful flesh has been dealt a fatal blow. It will not win if you are a follower of Jesus, but man, it goes down swinging, doesn't it? It does not go down without a fight. Paul talks about this in Romans 7 in a passage that's really encouraging if you are encouraged that writers of the Bible are messed up too, right? And if you're encouraged that writers of the Bible struggle too, Romans 7, the end of it is for you. Paul talks about how he doesn't do what he wants to do, but he does do what he doesn't want to do, and it doesn't even really feel like him that's doing it, but the sin that dwells in him, and his conclusion is, I am a wretched person, right? I am just the worst. And maybe you read that and think, I got you beat, Paul, right? I'm the worst, right? And we try to keep ourselves together on the outside, maybe especially when you come to church. We try to smile and tell people that we're doing well. Maybe that's what some of you like about going to church online, because you don't even have to pretend like things are good while you're in your living room, because we know what everyone can't see. We know the internal struggle that's going on in our lives. And maybe sometimes you think, man, if people only knew what I was thinking right now, if they only knew what I was battling, if they only knew what my flesh was craving, man, I am the worst. I'm the worst. And here is what I pray in my own life, and I pray over my children. I pray for the Holy Spirit to win. I pray for Him to win. I pray for the Holy Spirit to bring victory, even in times that feel like a loss. And see, this is the result of the gospel. This is where freedom is found, in believing that I don't have to overcome my sinful flesh. No, I need to be overcome by the Holy Spirit of God. And there's a huge difference. I don't have to overcome my sinful flesh on my own. I need to be overcome by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not on me to take control over my flesh. It's giving up control to the Holy Spirit that brings freedom. More of Him, less of me. His victory is our victory. Following Him is so much better than living in opposition to Him. The second reason we need to walk by the Spirit is in verse 18. Look at that. Paul says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Second reason that we need to walk by the Spirit is because internal transformation is better than external modification. Internal transformation is better than external modification. So this is a theme that we've seen throughout the book of Galatians. Paul doesn't want us to live under the law, but instead live under grace. And so now he ties being led by the Spirit to a life that isn't under the weight of the law. And so Paul is continuously trying to shift our focus in this book away from external behaviors towards our internal reality. Christianity is not the same as moralistic deism. It's not just about being good and kind and fair so you can be happy and feel good about yourself, because you'll never be good enough. You'll never be good enough. If your standing before God is based on your ability to have the self-discipline to modify your external behavior, then you will be judged based on an external law. And you will always fall short. You'll never be good enough. We have to believe this. On our best days, we don't even come close to meeting God's holy standard. No matter how much you promise to do better the next time, you still won't be good enough. You don't want to be under the law. That's not where freedom is found. Alistair Begg says, effective Christian living is not the product of human regulation, but divine transformation. Effective Christian living is not the product of human regulation, but divine transformation. It's not, I promise to do better the next time. It's, Holy Spirit, I need you to change me from the inside out. And the reason that being led by the Spirit frees you from the law is not that the law is bad. The problem is not with the law, the problem is with us. But because the Holy Spirit of God will always lead you to fulfill the heart of God's law. What God's law requires, the Holy Spirit produces. And Pastor John will talk more about that next week. But we should desire to be led by the Spirit because we need so much more than external modification. We need internal transformation. And I say that recognizing that there are many who disagree with me on that. And maybe some of you would as well. The overwhelming message of our culture is that people are generally good. They're generally good people. Most of your friends and your neighbors would tell you that they are a good person, or at least they try to be. I mean, no one's perfect. I have some things to work on, but I try to be good. And if that is your thought process, then you are going to be drawn to a moral law and say, I'm going to get better at this and I'm going to work on that. But God's word says, my problem isn't primarily external, it is internal. Simply trying to modify external behaviors is like painting the walls of your house while the foundation is crumbling. Right? It's all coming down eventually. We need an internal change that can only be accomplished through the Spirit of God. We need to walk by the Spirit because internal transformation is better than external modification. Now, take a breath. Because the next three verses are not easy, but they're important, and we're going to get through them together. So here we go. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh, in case you're wondering, are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Thank you so much, Paul, for cutting that short, right? Are we going through every sin here, right? Thank you for saying, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you didn't find your vice here, trust me, it's just in the and things like these, okay? He didn't say lying was bad and things like these, okay? I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the third reason we need to walk by the Holy Spirit. Because an eternal inheritance is better than temporary vices. An eternal inheritance is better than temporary vices. And so let me just acknowledge that this list of vices that is one that we want to distance ourselves from just automatically when we hear it read, right? No one sees that list and says, put it on my resume, right? No one says, yep, that's me. And we often try to distance ourselves from our sinful, we try to distance our sinful behaviors from our character. Right? We prefer to describe our external behaviors as ugly rather than swallowing the pill that says, it's my heart that's ugly. This is why when someone gets caught in sin, they will often say, that's not who I am, because that is so much easier than admitting I am the problem. And so I know that this list makes us want to run, right? And say, nope, not me, not me. But hang in there with me, because we need to recognize the depravity that is within each of us. And then we're going to finish by celebrating Jesus, and Amanda's going to sing Hallelujah for the Cross, and hopefully your heart will join with her in that. But before we get there, we need to recognize that this list of vices isn't foreign to any of us. These are some of the works of the sinful flesh that resides within each one of us. So I'm not saying that you do all these things, but I am saying that this is part of our hard wiring. This is why we need internal transformation. And so let me go back to the beginning, verse 19. Paul says, now the works of the flesh, which resides in each one of us, are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. And so Paul starts his list by talking about sexuality unchecked. And we need to talk here because our culture is so swept out to sea on this, and followers of Jesus honestly aren't far behind. And so here we go. Sex and sexuality is God's idea, and it is a good idea. God created good things, not gross things, except for rats. Right? Maybe they were cute before the fall, but rats, no, gross, okay. But God created good things. So God intentionally designed sex and sexuality, and he knew it was awesome because he made it, and he also knew that it was very powerful, so he framed it up. He created boundaries to keep it in its proper place. This is the goodness of God that you see all throughout his creation, by the way. He creates the sun, and then he says, you stay over 90 million miles away so you don't destroy everything I made, but you can keep it warm, right? And you can help it live. God established laws and boundaries over his creation for our good and for our flourishing. And he placed boundaries around sex and the expression of sexuality that are for our good and that are for our flourishing. And our flesh looks at that and says, nope, we know better. Right? No. We don't want this just to be a good thing. We want this to be an ultimate thing. This is not something that God should control. He can worry about keeping the sun in its place. This is something we don't even want to control. No, this controls us, right? Our sexual desires and our impulses. And then all of a sudden, this determines my identity. This determines my happiness. This determines my human interactions. We let images flood our phones and our computers and our TVs. We let sexuality and the sexual desires of our flesh lead us and control us instead of being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. We've taken a good thing and made it an ultimate thing, which makes it a bad thing. And this leads right into the next two vices, idolatry and sorcery, which both at their core refuse to worship the one true God, but instead substitute him out for something else. An idol is anything that you love more than God. Anything that you value more than him. And our flesh loves to love other things. Our flesh loves to love other things. And we need to recognize that. Our flesh is constantly encouraging us to worship what it thinks will satisfy its cravings. Money, success, popularity, leisure, relationships, all these counterfeit gods that we chase after because our flesh is idolatrous. It says, feed me more. Maybe this will work, or maybe that will work. And we run all these other places instead of loving God more than anything. Next, you have the attitudes and the realities of the flesh. Enmity, which means displays of hatred. Strife, just divisions with people. Jealousy, fits of anger, an uncontrolled temper. Rivalries, or selfish ambition. Dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Paul's not trying to list every sin. He says, that's just a sample. Oh, great. And I think most of us would agree that these sins don't even have positive temporary results. Hatred, conflict, jealousy, anger, and envy don't usually end well. They usually lead to more of themselves, more hatred, and more conflict, and more anger. But we also need to notice that the worst consequence for being controlled by your flesh isn't immediate. The warning is strong. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because if you are led by what is temporary, it will lead to a temporary destination. If you are led by what is temporary, it will lead to a temporary destination. This is huge. If your life is only led by temporary things, where you will arrive will be temporary. If you invest in what is worldly, you will have a worldly inheritance. Our reward will never be greater than what we worship. If you worship money, if you worship sex, if you worship power, then those things are the best that you can hope for. If you are led by yourself, then your destination will be limited to how far you can go. And the world makes all sorts of promises about all that it can offer, but it can't offer you anything that will outlast itself. And the world is passing away along with its desires. And I just see so many people that I love who are being led by temporary things. And I know it's not going to end well for them. And the gospel calls to people who are led astray by their desires and calls us in our wandering and says to us, we need someone better than us to lead us. We need someone better than us to lead us. We need to be led by the Spirit because following God is so much better than opposing Him. An internal transformation is better than external modification. An eternal inheritance is better than temporary vices. And when I come to passages that reveal the reality of my condition outside of Christ, think about that without Him, I would be fighting. I would be His enemy, fighting a battle that I was destined to lose. I would be a slave to external modification. I would only have the hope that my temporary vices could bring some measure of temporary comfort or temporary satisfaction. And here is what led me to worship this week. Seeing that this passage describes the condition of my heart when the Holy Spirit said, this is where my home is going to be. Realize that this passage is describing the condition of your heart when the Holy Spirit says, yes, that is going to be my home. That is the space that I am going to fill. Don't worry about painting or cleaning up. I'll take care of that. I mean, just try to wrap your mind around this. If you are a Christian, walking by the Spirit or being led by the Spirit is not about trying to keep up with someone who is outside of you. Right? It's not about, like, my 3-year-old daughter trying to keep up with me in the snow the other day and tripping and falling as she goes. No, it is about yielding control to the one who is in you. This is the wonder of the gospel. This is why we don't lose heart even as we recognize the sinfulness of our flesh. Because when we were hopelessly lost in our sin, Jesus came on a rescue mission from heaven. Jesus demonstrated what it looks like to walk by the Spirit by living the perfect life that you and I failed to live. Yet, He was willing to die the death that you and I deserve to die. He took the just punishment for all of our sin and all of our idolatry and all the sinful works of our flesh on Himself at the cross. He rose from the dead. He conquered sin and the grave. So if you get over yourself and place your faith in His perfect life, His sacrificial death, and His victorious resurrection, no matter what you have done, no matter the idols that are in your life, no matter your guilt or your shame, all of your sins can be forgiven. You don't have to live under the weight of the law that you could never fulfill on your own. You can be set free. You don't have to stand before God on the basis of your sinful resume, because the righteousness of Jesus can be credited to your account. You can be part of the eternal family of God, and the Holy Spirit of God will indwell your heart to begin transforming you from the inside out. That's the gospel. We don't have to be led by the impulses and cravings of our flesh. We can walk by the Holy Spirit of God. We can live in submission to Him. We don't have to oppose God for our whole lives. We don't have to focus just on external modification. We don't have to just rely on our temporary vices. We can yield control of all that to the Holy Spirit. We would be hopeless
without his goodness. We would be desperate without his love. Slave to the darkness if it wasn't for the cross. Let me pray for us as Amanda comes to sing. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us eyes to see who we are without you. And you give us eyes to see what you have done to make it possible for us to be transformed into the image of yourself. So Jesus, as we see what is true of our flesh, I pray that we would just be filled with wonder and led to worship by the reality that you saw us in that condition and you said, I am going to die for them. You saw our idolatry against you and then you paid the price for our idolatry yourself on the cross. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would win in our lives. I know there's so many here in this room, online, that are struggling with their sinful flesh. And they think they should be better, and they wonder why it's so hard. And they feel like they're failing over and over and over again. Holy Spirit, we need you to win. Pray that we would yield control over to you because we believe that you are better. You are so much better than the life that we can attain on our own. So this morning, we just want to say that we need you. And we're so thankful that you met our greatest need at the cross of Calvary. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.